صلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me and you in this world for a limited period. Nobody is going to be in this world forever. And nothing of this world is going to last forever. This world has so much to offer. The buildings, the cars, the food, the clothing, the enjoyment, the entertainment, the places, the holidays, the sceneries. There's so much in this world. But a day is going to come, everything is going to come to an end. And we have to keep on reminding ourselves that all this is going to come to an end. And as a Muslim, this world is not everything. It's just the first stage in my life. One pious person, he was traveling and he was about to enter the town. And on the outside of the town, on one side is the Qabristan, the graveyard. And on the other side is the dump of the town. All their junk and all their dump, they throw it outside in this place. So this pious person, he saw the dump. And on this side, he saw the graveyard. He sat down and he said, "What a beautiful place to ponder and think." And then he looked at the graveyard and he said, "This is the end of man. This is where we are going to end up." And then he looked at the dump and he said, "And this is the the end of the material of man. Whatever he's got, everything ends up here, like in our Clearwood. You got the Qabristan, and you also got the scrapyard. So all these people were once upon a time walking on the surface of this earth, enjoying themselves. And then they landed up in the Qabristan. Then you got the scrapyard. All those cars, once upon a time, they were called the ultimate, and they were called the car of the year. And today, they're rusting and rotting in the scrapyard. So this is the first stage of our life. And we should not forget that as Muslims. Then a day is going to come, we're going to pass away. And we're going to go into the qabr. And when that finishes, then we learnt in the madrasa, a day is going to come when the trumpet will be blown. And everybody will wake up from the qabr. And qiyamah will start. And people will be according to their deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about certain people. They will be in the VIP, in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody likes to be treated as a VIP. You know, if you're invited somewhere to the walima, or your special friend called you and he gives you that special table, how you feel? You feel so honored. And if you came and they just let you sit outside and they give you the leftovers, eating the same food, that's what you came for, but you don't feel so honored. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about the seven types of people who made the right choice in life. There will always be these choices in life. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about these people who will be in the VIP shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one explanation is, they will be in the shade of the throne of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be those two people who met, and their meeting was for no ulterior motive. It was only to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. They loved each other only to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. There will be that person who spent only to make Allah ta'ala happy. The hadith describes it, that he was so sincere. The left hand didn't know what the right hand had spent. There will be that person whose heart was always attached to the masjid. There will be that ruler who was in might, who was in power, who had all the clout. But with all that, he made sure he will rule with justice. There will be that person who was invited to do wrong by a woman of beauty. But thinking of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking of the consequence, he leaves out the haram out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be that young person. He's in his teens. He grew up, he was nurtured, and he was brought up in the ibadat of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special place for those young people in the shade of his arsh, who grew up. There were other youngsters also, and everybody was making a choice in life, and somebody was choosing this and somebody was choosing that, but he was choosing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be that person who cried. He remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then his eyes teared, thinking how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for me, and how ungrateful I am, and how much I owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thinking about Allah, his eyes started tearing. So my dear brothers, this world and whatever we see around is just the first stage in the life of a Muslim. And then comes the qabr, and then comes the hereafter. So what is the intelligent thing? The intelligent thing will be to invest and to put our energy into something that is going to last forever and forever. That is the intelligent thing. The intelligent thing will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with the wealth of iman, blessed me with such a wealth that will see me through in this world and will see me through in the hereafter. Let me make such a choice that will look after my iman. Let me not make such a choice in life that will interfere with my iman. So this whole world and our whole life, all our mornings, all our nights, are spent in the choices that we make in life. If a person is caught up with the environment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, Allah ta'ala protect us, then he makes the wrong choice. And the night is spent, but the command of Allah ta'ala is broken. The day is spent, and the command of Allah ta'ala is broken. The wealth is spent in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we made the wrong choice in life. And after every wrong, a person realizes, I made the wrong choice. And why he made the wrong choice? Because he was in the wrong environment. And that environment had such a pull on him, it made him make the wrong choice. And the command of Allah Ta'ala was broken. But at the end of the day, he realized, it wasn't worth it. Really, it wasn't worth it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and given you, given all of us, a limited life in this world. If we are going to make the choice like the non-believers, like everybody else out there, only about the wealth, only about the world, only about the material, only about getting more and more, then there isn't a more foolish person than this. And if we are going to make the choice that this is going to help me in my deen, let me do this, then there isn't a more intelligent person than that person. So everything works around the choice that we are going to. There's two things in front of me. I can go this way, I can go that way. So a person who has that spark of iman in his heart, he will look for something that will look after his iman, that will be an investment in the hereafter. And he will be very wary of making that choice that will affect his iman. There is one light. You know, we are four brothers. So whenever we get together, my brothers always, they share with me, you know, their jokes. So it's just a joke. It's just something lighthearted. You mustn't start crying or something. But the point is, when you make the wrong choice in life, and then you realize, hey, it wasn't worth it. So there was this person, he went shopping. And parked his car, everything, did his shopping. He's coming out with his bags. And as he comes to the parking lot where he parked his car, he sees his car is gone. So now, car is gone. So he goes back. The people of the shopping center, they told him, no, don't worry. We'll check our cameras and everything. And anything we come across, we'll let you know. They took his particulars down. He went home. He was very sad. But the next day, the shopping center phoned him. They said, guess what? Your car is back. Not only back, it's parked in the same place where you parked it. So he came, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to check the car. He walks around the whole car. He sees everything is right, spick and span. And on the driver's seat, there was an envelope. And when he opened the envelope, this person said, you know, he's writing. He says, Maaf. You know, my wife was in delivery and she was expecting. And I needed a car to take her to the hospital. So I saw your car and I just broke in. And we have been blessed with a baby boy. We are so happy. And out of the happiness that we used your car, there are two tickets here for you and for your wife to a certain show. You can go and enjoy the show as a compliment from the parents of this boy. Oh, he was so happy. He got his car back. Nothing happened to his car. Plus, he got two tickets to a show. He went home and he told his wife. He said, I got the car back. And guess what? I got these two tickets to the show. 500 yen ticket. 3-hour show. So they are so happy. And they're waiting for the day. And the day of the show came and they went. See the choice they're making. Let's go for the show. So they went for the show. After the 3 hours, they enjoyed themselves. Now he came out in the parking lot. And guess what? His car was there. His car wasn't gone. His car was still there. So he got inside his car. And when he went home, the whole home was empty. The fridge was gone. The freezer was gone. The sofas were gone. The cupboard. Everything was gone. They cleaned the whole house. And in the kitchen, he found one envelope. And when he opened the envelope, that person is writing, Maaf, we had a lot of things to buy for this baby. So when you were enjoying the show, we were emptying your house. and we're going to sell all this for our baby boy. Now, I ask you, my dear brothers, it's not a true story, so you don't have to cry or anything, but I ask you, the 3 hours in that show, he was enjoying himself. He was laughing himself sick. He was enjoying himself for the three hours. But what was happening in the 3 hours? On this side, his house is being emptied. Those 3 hours, was it worth it? It wasn't worth it. So this is how Shaitan plays with me and you. He makes us make the wrong choices in life. And 1 hour is going, 2 hours are going, 3 hours are going. And on this side, Shaitan is taking out and he's robbing and he's interfering. And he's shaking the iman up and he's shaking our akhirat up. Was it worth it at the end of the day? At the end of the day, it wasn't worth it. So my dear brothers, this limited life that we have, all the entertainment you can think of, is going to come to an end. If there's anything me and you have to invest in, it's a hereafter. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, looking back, memory lane, you know, looking back 70 years ago, he's telling his children, he says, you know, I'm looking back into my childhood when I was a young boy. And at that time in India, we used to play this game, something very similar to marbles. I don't know if we play marbles here. But back in Joburg, they got a season for everything. They got a top season, they got a yo-yo season, so they have a marble season also. And only afterwards, when you came to madrasa, then we realized, hey, all this thing is wrong. Right? It's not not good to play all these things. But the Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi is saying, in my childhood, myself and my cousin, and we're playing this marble game, and he's throwing and I am throwing. I don't know if you know how people play marbles. You know, I had one cousin, Ziad, from Lienz. Was very good with the marble. So he would go to school with 2 marbles in his pocket. And then in the break time, they play marbles in the marble season. And when he comes back from school, his school pants is bulging with the marbles. So he used to have this, you know, this baby tin powder, this tins you have for the baby powder. One tin he used to fill with the marbles. Every day he's going with 2, and he's coming back with so much. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi is saying that I was playing with my cousin back in the day. And he's throwing and I'm throwing. He's throwing and I'm throwing. And he won all my marbles. So now he's a big Mufti Sahib. So many years passed, 70 years passed, and he's looking back at that incident. He says, you know, I remember that incident. My cousin won all my marbles. He said, the way I cried that day, I was sobbing and I was crying. What? He won all my marbles. Everything he won of mine. He said, the way I cried, I was so sad, I was sobbing. He said, but now, after so many years, when I look back, I say to myself, what? For that? For those few marbles you cried so much, like your whole world was taken away. Is that a thing for you to cry about? He said, now when I look at myself, I laugh at myself. Hey, how I cried for a few marbles and I cried so much. Then he takes a lesson from there. He says, when we go into the hereafter, and we see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the people of Iman, and the bounties, and the jannat, and the rivers, and the clothing, and the food, and the entertainment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept so much. And then we look back at the world, and we will laugh at ourselves, and say, what? For that I became so angry. For that I took my brother to court. For that I filed a case and I fought and I fought and I fought. Because of that, I went into depression. Because of that, I used to cry. Because of that, I couldn't sleep at night. It wasn't worth it. Then a person will laugh at himself. So, my dear brothers, in this short life, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, there will always be these two choices we make in life. The person of Iman, in the environment that he is in, he makes the correct choice. And the environment helps us make the right choice. If you're not in the right environment, you make the wrong choice. How many a time you hear a person, he wouldn't even go near all these substances and all these very big words to use, you know, all these cigarettes and all these things. He won't even think about it. But then he went into an environment, he went into a circle, he joined something. And before he knows it, he's also hooked onto it. And it happens for the good also. A person went into a good environment, and that environment also had an effect on him. I'll give you one last incident, and then inshallah, we're going to stand up and we're going to give our names and make the right choice for the coming holiday, inshallah, for the December holiday. We'll just end off with this incident. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayh, he says, there was one very capable ustad, and he started teaching in this madrasa. So he just started teaching, and not even a few months passed, and he came to the office, and he's complaining the money is too less. You know, I wish for an increase in my salary. I can't come out. I think there should be an increase. So the office made some consideration and gave him an increase in the salary. Then, so maybe he's getting 100, so the office is saying now, okay, we'll give you 170. So, okay. Then a few months passed, again he's back in the office. You see, 170, I can't come out. I'm looking at maybe, you know, 250 or something. I don't think I can make it with 170. Okay. So the officer explained him, "Bhai, you just came in, and what we are giving the senior staff, you know, that's what we're giving you presently. If you're asking for more, it will be difficult to keep you. Maybe you can find somewhere else. They will be able to meet up with your demands." So he left teaching in this madrasa. Who's giving this incident? As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayh. So he says, this alim, he went to another madrasa, and he started teaching in that other madrasa. The second madrasa. Now, the Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullahi Alayh, he's in charge of madrasa number one, and he's also in charge of madrasa number two. So when he went to madrasa number two, he asked the people of the office, you know, how so-and-so ustad? So he said, oh, mashallah, very, very good person. And he's performing very well. So he said, what about how's his wages, everything? He's comfortable. He said, oh, the wages, don't even talk about it. He said, what happened? He said, no, he's taking so little bit of wage, and we want to force him. For example, now, he's taking only 80. He's taking. You know, they couldn't come out with 170. Yeah, he's only taking 80. And when we're forcing him, why take more? And he's giving it back to the madrasa. Maaf, it's too much for me. And that 80 that he's getting, he says it is too much for him, and it's very difficult to give him an increase in the wage. He's over contented with that 80. So Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Alayh, he got this alim. Now he's just, you know, the the alone. So the Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Alayh told him, "Bhai, I know your story in madrasa number one, and I also know your story here. You tell me what happened. Come on. There in madrasa number one, the shalete and the money wasn't enough. 100, you said take it to 170. 170, you want it to go to 250. And here, 80, and you're coming out comfortably. And you're not even asking for more. And they're forcing you to take more, and you're not taking more. So he told us, the Sheikh al-Hadith is exactly how you're saying. There, that was my problem. And here, this is my situation. So Sheikh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi, asked him, why? He said, because the environment changed. He says, there I was in a circle, and the people who I was mixing with, they were only talking about money, and money is short, and you can't come out, and this. So that had an effect on my yaqeen. So I also felt, hey, I can't come out. And here when I came, it's a different circle altogether. It's a different environment. My dear brothers, when this tashkil is made to go out in the path of Allah, it is for what? It is for me and you to make that right choice in our life. We've got this hectic life of ours. I don't know if I use the right word, but we've got this very fast life of ours, very hectic life of ours. But then we made the right choice. And then we said, no, this holiday, let me give it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know I've taken the wrong off-ramp and I'm going off. I'm supposed to go on this road. I took the wrong turn. And I'm going off and I'm going further and further and further and further away from my route. When a person takes the wrong off-ramp, what he does? Carries on driving. That thing in the car will tell him, you know, show him what to do. The first thing he has to do is he has to turn around. He has to reroute. He has to make that U-turn in life. So when a person gives that chilla, then that chilla is to make that U-turn in his life and to come back. So he left his hectic life and he stayed for 40 days in the house of Allah. Now he's got time to think, who am I? Now he's sitting in the talib. He's only listening about Allah. He's only listening about deen. He's staying in the company of malaika. He's talking about Allah. He's listening about Allah. He's talking about deen. He's listening about the sunnah. After 40 days, for 40 days he read his salah with the imam, Allahu Akbar. He got his takbir ula. For 40 days he slept in the house of Allah. For 40 days he sat in the talim. He's listening to the incidents. He's seeing the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's seeing Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. He's looking at his satis. He's seeing, oh, this person here, what a beautiful person this is. He's got the quality of dua. Everything he does, he's making dua first and then he's doing, I need to get this in my life. He sees this person, he's got a beautiful quality of ikram and he's so ready to serve and he's so ready to help. I need to get this in my life. He sees this person, he's so careful when he speaks. He's so polite. I need to get all that colorful language out of me and I need to speak like this person. He's affected with the environment. Now when he comes home, you think he's going to be the same? There's a whole change in his life. There's a U-turn in his life. That is why the tashkil is being made. Not for anything else. Just so that we can make that U-turn in life and come back from where we left, come back onto the main road, away from this off-ramp that we took. So we all are ready for this, inshallah. Inshallah, the tashkil will be made now. We put our hand on our hearts, and now the choice is going to be made. What am I going to do with this December holiday that is coming? So between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me make that right intention, that right choice. And then we lift up our hand, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy. We're all ready, inshallah. We'll make the tashkil. Inshallah, we stand up and give our names, inshallah.
Ji, mashallah.